for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be reposting a few older episodes. I've been working really hard to finish this PE course about helping engineers and students get over the hurdle of passing the PE exam. It's a very complicated exam. I've been putting a lot of effort into this course to guide you through science-based study techniques, time management techniques, as well as helping you create a plan so you can pass the PE exam. I've been putting the finishing touches over the next few weeks. I'll be releasing this course on the first week of July, so I'm very excited about that coming up, so stay tuned. Make sure you check out the show notes for links and everything, and I'm just excited to be releasing this course here in the next couple of weeks. For the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be reposting a couple episodes from the past. We've been getting a lot of new listeners, so I'm sure you have not heard this in the past if you're new, so I'm very excited to share this content with you as well. Just give me a little more time to finish this course and get back to you with a lot of new content. Today, I'm going to bring it back to last year during PE Day when I just answered a bunch of questions from people that wanted to know more about the exam, what it looks like. They had questions about if they wanted to gather the information for their references, for their years of experience, all of that stuff that is not very clear when you're Googling or online. And I had to go through all of that last year when I got my PE. So hope you enjoyed this classic episode, and we'll be back with new episodes in a couple of weeks. And stay tuned if you are taking the exam here soon for this course. I'm very excited. There's a lot of great information in there. So enjoy the episode for today. I'm excited to announce that our very own podcasting platform, Zencast, has become a new sponsor to the show. Check out the podcast discount link in our show notes and stay tuned for why we love using Zencast for the podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Engineering Future Podcast. I'm your host, Luis Duque, and today we are actually celebrating PE Day. And if you've been a listener of the podcast recently or have been following me on social media, you know I recently got my PE license here in Colorado. Definitely a very big milestone for my career and just for one of my personal achievements overall. So I'm pretty excited to celebrate my first PE Day. It's a day celebrated by the National Society of Professional Engineers. It's an organization that kind of oversees all the PEs in the country, and they have some great resources and activities kind of going on throughout the year. I just wanted to start by just giving you a quick kind of interesting fact about engineering. So engineering comes from the Latin word ingenium, which means cleverness. And I think this is a really great fit for what we do. We do a lot of design sometimes on the spot. We do a lot of clever designs, obviously, for everything we do. No matter what kind of engineer you are working on a lot of interesting things, and it's always fun to see what other people are doing online and just in their careers in general. So I just wanted to take this episode, kind of answer some of the questions that I got when I posted that I passed the PE exam and I got my PE license, as well as just kind of give you some benefits of getting a PE. If you're thinking about potentially getting a PE in near future or currently planning to take the exam here in the next few months, this is the episode to listen and to hopefully get some of your questions answered. And obviously, if you have any additional questions, let me know on social media or send me an email. All the contact information will be linked in the description down below. So like I said, taking the PE exam has been one of the hardest and definitely most fulfilling things that I have done so far in my career. It was definitely a lot of work. If you follow the journey of studying, I believe I studied somewhere in the range of 250 to 250 hours over the course of 4 months, which was definitely quite a bit with family and children and just other responsibilities that I had to fulfill. But go back and listen to those episodes. I already have recorded about 3 episodes related to the PE exam. I recorded one by myself before I actually knew the score of the exam, just talking about how just getting ready and preparing for the PE exam actually made me a better engineer. And it was just a great experience to kind of go back and relearn some of those topics, some of those just concepts that sometimes we forget as we go and progress in our career. So it was a really fun experience. Go check out that episode. Again, we'll be linked in the description down below. The next episode was with Vanessa. And this episode was also interesting because if you have followed her online on social media or have listened to the episode, you know this was the second time she took the PE exam, and unfortunately she did not pass this time around. We talk about how to prepare for the exam, how to beat test anxiety, how to just control those nerves that happen when you're taking the exam. And it was just overall another great episode to kind of go through the exam and prepare and hopefully get everything in line so you can be prepared and ready to take the exam. And then the last episode was with Isaac. He's from the Civil Engineering Academy. He has a lot of courses and resources related to the PE and the FE exam. I'll link his website and some of those resources here in the description down below. But that episode was more so what happens after you take the PE exam. What comes after you become a licensed professional engineer, and some of the things to keep in mind in terms of your new responsibilities, career growth, as well as compensation and all of those great things that come with a big milestone like passing the PE exam. So today on PE Day, I just wanted to kind of just take some time to acknowledge obviously all the PE, all the new PEs from this past year, from last year. Obviously with COVID, there was a lot of additional hurdles to climb and to go over to finally get the PE license. So I just want to acknowledge everyone. It's definitely a big, big accomplishment in all of our careers, and it was just a great experience to kind of go through that. And I've been thankful to being able to share these resources. As many as you know, PPI is a partner of the podcast. They have a lot of great resources, courses and books and everything that are going to help you pass the exam if you're soon to take the exam. So make sure you check them out as well. I know ISAC with Civil Engineering Academy has a lot of great resources as well. I'll make sure you link those again in the description below so you can check them out. But overall, I just wanted to mainly just answer some of the questions that I've gotten online and just kind of give you some of the reasons why getting the PE license matter on this important day for all of us engineers. So what's the relevance of engineers in our society? So I just wanted to start with something that a lot of engineers do once they graduate from school, and that's the Order of the Engineer. Is basically a engineer organization, engineer society that you join sometimes right after graduate, sometimes years after, but it's basically just an oath that you pledge to always practice engineering ethically and always giving society and giving all your good intentions to everything you do in your career. If you've seen people with a metal or stainless steel ring on their pinky finger on the hand that they write with, their dominant hand, that's what you receive as a symbol of you taking that oath and you becoming part of the order of the engineer. So if you see someone around that has a steel or like a silver ring in their pinky finger, it's very likely they are engineers, and just a way to recognize other people on a day-to-day basis. So let me read you what the oath says. I am an engineer. In my profession, I take deep pride. To it, I owe solemn obligations. As an engineer, I pledge to practice integrity and fair dealing, tolerance and respect, and to uphold devotion to the standards and the dignity of my profession. Conscious always that my skills carries with it the obligation to serve humanity by making the best use of the Earth's precious wealth. As an engineer, I shall participate in none but honest enterprises. When needed, my skill and knowledge shall be given without reservation for the public good. In my performance of duty and in fidelity to my profession, I shall give my utmost. So again, this is an oath that we all, or most engineers, pledge once we graduate from school. And it's just a reminder that the work that we do matters, and the work that we do is impacting hundreds, if not thousands of people every single day. So why is it important to get a license as an engineer? So as from the structural point of view, many of you probably have heard of the Florida building collapse, also the FIU bridge collapse, and many other collapses kind of around the world. Obviously, this is something we don't really want to happen, but kind of opened the eyes to why there are so many laws and restrictions and codes and standards that we as engineers need to follow. And that's because these failures and these events that always teaches and is always a lesson for all of us engineers to learn what went wrong and how to fix it. And many years ago, I mean, there have been other collapses that have really changed the way the code is written, the way the limits are written in the code, and that's how we kind of progress in our career. So by having licensed engineers, people that are really committed to the profession and committed to making the world a better place for everyone, it is important to have a license that just shows the commitment and shows that you are someone that people can look up to and someone that carries that license with pride. There's also a lot of new opportunities to volunteer with engineering organizations like ASE, ACI, and EWB. Those are three of the main organizations I volunteer with. From the EWB side, you now can become an engineer of record for some of these projects, as well as just traveling internationally with students and being a mentor and just being a bigger part of the organization. So that's always exciting. With ASE and ACI, there's a lot of other opportunities to be more active in those organizations with your license, and you are just growing into the shoes of an engineer that is volunteering and is active in everything you do in your career. Obviously, better career opportunities. If you didn't know, only about 20% of today practice engineers are actually licensed engineers. So there is not a lot of PEs out there, and there is always a need for licensed engineers to sign, to stamp, to create drawings, to be that engineer of record on some of these projects. So by having the PE license, you're giving yourself the best chance for career opportunities. Obviously, if something like last year happens again with COVID, you are more likely to stay in a company because you have the license and you are a lot of times more valuable to the company since you can design and you can be the engineer record for a lot of these projects. Not only this open doors for your career, but having the PE in your name just represents a certification that people outside of engineering trust, people that are not in the engineering field or STEM fields that see you have a professional engineering license will more likely trust you when you come and let's say do a house inspection or are designing something large like a building or a bridge. Having that license really makes a difference when you're working as an engineer. And the last thing I'll say is just you probably get a pay raise. Obviously not all companies work that way, but it's most likely you are gonna get a pay raise, maybe a promotion into a more technical lead or project management position. Obviously, it's a big step forward in your career, and it's always great to see kind of your career advancing. And I'm always obviously happy to see that I'm not just stagnant on my position of design engineer, but I'm looking ahead and see what the next steps in my career. And obviously, getting the PE license was a big boost in my case. So with that out of the way, I just wanted to answer a bunch of questions that I got when I posted on LinkedIn that I passed the PE exam and I got my license. Many questions as simple as just study schedule, other more complicated that we'll get into those here in a second. So let's start with the PE schedule and material and how to manage family, work, and study. So if you go back to that first episode that I recorded about the PE exam, I talk mainly about that. And the way I did it, just to kind of summarize what I said in that episode, was I study about 2 to 3 hours every day, Monday through Thursday, for about the last month and a half. And then Saturday, I study for 8 hours, which is what the exam length is. So that was a great test for me to see how I reacted to just being like sitting for 8 hours straight and study and just be thinking about really technical concepts. So I think that was a great choice. It really prepared me well for the exam, and it prepared me well to just be a more realistic situation when you enter the exam. Obviously, with family and kids was a little tougher. There was a lot of help from my wife, and there was a lot of help with friends and family. So like I said in that episode, it is very hard for for someone to go through these by themselves. If you don't have a significant other, you can find friends, people that support you at work or engineering organizations like ASE or other engineering organizations. But find people that are able to help you go through this process of studying. It's really hard to go through all of these by yourself. It's a lot of long hours, a lot of studying, a lot of material. So if you can find someone that help you, either by making more time for you to study, maybe like making dinner for you every day, or maybe once in a while, from just helping you with problems you may have, if there is someone else that is studying for the exam, just find someone that can support you through this process. This episode of the Engineering Future Podcast is sponsored by Zencastr. Podcasting remotely can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. Zencastr, all-in-one web-based solution, makes the process quick and painless, the way it should be. If you know me, you know I'm obsessed with quality, and Zencastr provides crystal clear sound and crisp HD video. In fact, I'm using Zencastr to record this ad and using their post-production tools to save time in editing as well as having the highest possible audio quality. It is also very easy to use, even for my guests that aren't that tech savvy. There's nothing to download. They just click a link and we start recording. Zencastr is all about making your podcasting experience easy, and with everything from local recording to automatic post-production tools, you don't have to leave your browser to get episodes done. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. If you go to zencastr.com/pricing and enter promo code engineeringfuture, you'll get 30% off your first 3 months. That's zencastr.com/pricing, promo code engineeringourfuture. So question number two says, any tips for organizing the years of progressive engineering experience? Nothing that is really, in my case, I thought was a little easier than I thought it was going to be. I had three jobs that I had to write for, and it's basically a kind of overview and showing how you progress as an engineer. And then there is a part of where you feel like your projects and some of the tasks you have done. So if you have more than one job, you're going to have to do that for each job. And obviously it's a little more cumbersome to kind of go through all of that process. If you only have one job, I think it's a lot easier to kind of go back and see what projects you worked on. They have really great guidelines on the NCES website as to how to write these sections. Make sure you kind of show how you progress from maybe at the beginning you were working independently about 10% of the time, and then maybe by the time you took the exam it's more like 80 to 90% of the time. I always just explain how you progress as an engineer, how your career has changed since you started that job. Something that they recommend is just showing, basically saying, talking in first person, like, I designed such, I inspected such, I verified such. So always using first person when you're describing your experience helps a lot. Not the kind of saying, we as a team work on such. Always use I worked, fill in the blank. So make sure you are following the guidelines that ENCES has. And obviously, there was a great guide, some great examples. And if you still have some questions, make sure you email me. I can kind of send you what I wrote as an example. Is an engineer required to sign for your hours? Not that I'm aware of. Nor here in Colorado. The engineer record or the DP you worked under does have to verify your write-up and has to basically give the consent that he was overseeing your work, as well as giving kind of a recommendation when you apply through the NCES website. Again, this changes by states. There's a lot of states that can receive the NCES record and take that for the P license. Some other states have their own system to apply, so this may change depending on where you're located. What if you can't get someone to sign for your hours? What do you do? Again, I don't think there is like a signing for your hours, but there is always, you need to be working under a PE to kind of validate your experience. I believe there's a way to self-validate your experience, maybe a little longer, but you still need to be working under a licensed professional engineer no matter what. Unless you open like your own firm and you have worked by yourself for the 4 or 5 years of engineering experience. So there may be some out of the box cases that may need to be looked closer, but in general, I think as long as you work for a company that has a PE, it doesn't really need to be your direct supervisor. Can be any PE within the company that can sign for your experience and give you the recommendation. So hopefully they're willing to do that. Obviously someone had to do it for them in the past. I haven't really met any PEs that are not willing to sign for your work. Should you worry about studying for the PE exam if you are just starting grad school? I will say not necessarily. There's some states that you're able to take the PE exam right after school, which I know some people have done. That doesn't mean you get the PE license right away. You still need to get the years of experience. But a lot of times that's a great opportunity to just get the exam out of the way. I know many people have taken the exam right after they graduate, and they actually do better just because you're kind of in a student mindset. You're always thinking about all these concepts. You haven't forget let's say in my case, I'm a structural engineer. I have forgotten all the water resources or transportation concepts, all the geotech concepts for the most part. So having all those concepts and topics in your mind is going to be a lot easier to transfer that information into the PE exam. So I would recommend, if you can and you feel like you have the time to study, obviously going to be a lot of additional study after you graduate. If you are prepared to study for the exam and I feel like you can go through the process and do great in the exam, I definitely recommend you do it. I have a few friends that did it that way and they passed the exam. So it's obviously possible, but you always have to put in the hours and just study and make sure you are following kind of those courses and material and some of the changes actually for the PE exam. Like if you, this October is going to be the last time they're going to have the exam with paper and pencil. It's going to turn into an online exam, a computer-based exam next year, which is actually interesting because now they're going to give you basically a PDF that you can search and you have all the material, all the information in there. So you don't have to bring books, you don't have to bring anything, which I think it's a better setup just because you are not flipping through hundreds, maybe thousands of pages and books and materials. You only have one condensed document that you know the exam was based on. So that's going to be great. Do you need to have 4 years of experience documented before taking the exam in every state? No. I know California only requires 3, and from all the ones I know Wyoming, I think it's only 1 or none. Same with Illinois. So different states have different requirements. For the most part, most states do require about 4 years of experience to take the exam. Keep in mind that if you got a master's degree or I believe a PhD as well, you get 1 year of experience for that. What are the immediate benefits of taking the PE exam? Like I said, before I get into the questions, just getting better recognition, being able to do more volunteer work with different organizations, get paid more, and just being someone that is seen as a professional and seen and people can look up to in the profession. I think that's one of the main benefits when you pass the exam and get your license. How well does your job degree prepare you to take the PE? I will say, depending on where you go to school, I mean, there's different schools that have different courses. Obviously, if you got a master's degree, I think it's going to help a little bit more for some of the more advanced courses. The job is probably a hit or miss depending on your profession, what you do. Let's say right now I'm working in bridges. Obviously, bridges are a very small part of the structural part, but we actually do a lot of design with steel, a lot of design with concrete, some design with timber. So we actually have a wide variety of designs that we do within our work. It's not just design of bridges and that's all we do. We kind of use the AC7, we use the AAC code and many others to complete our design. So we actually get pretty well preparation for the exam, and it's just a way that you see many topics. For other people, obviously it's different depending on your career, but sometimes if you're in an industry that is really specialized in just one thing, it's going to be hard to be prepared for the wide variety of topics that are asked on the PE exam. And obviously, if you have taken the FE, you kind of know the spectrum of questions they ask on the FE. And I'll say DP is very similar in the morning session, and a little more concentrated on the depth part in the afternoon session. So keep that in mind. Obviously, study for the expert exam. I think all the resources online and all the resources that the NCE gives are a great starting point to just see what all it's asked in these exams, and make sure you follow it, to just follow all these sections and keep a list of all the topics and how many questions are usually asked. And then you can tell which ones you should study more, which ones maybe are less likely to be asked, and that way you're not focusing on one thing. If you listen to that first episode of the podcast, you may remember I said that for the morning session, I only focused on it for about 2 weeks. That was because the structure part, the depth portion, was just a bigger part of the exam, even in the morning session. I think there was about a 15% questions of structure in the morning. And with the CERM, the Civil Engineering Reference Manual, for the morning session, I was able to find most of the questions right away. So I didn't really worry too much about studying for the morning session, because I knew I was able to find those answers and they were not that technical. There were a lot of conceptual questions for the morning. Again, when to take the FE exam, I think you should take it right as early as you can, maybe in your senior year. Maybe I waited until about the last month for my senior year so I could have all the classes that were required to take the exam. But I know people that take it during the first semester of their senior year and still pass it. So I'll say, as soon as you feel you're ready during the senior year, definitely don't wait after you graduate, because it's going to get only harder with work and maybe family, other responsibilities. But just take it when you're in school, and obviously right before you graduate. How to handle concepts questions in the PE exam. I will say, for the morning session, if you just have the CERM, that's going to be your main resource. At least for October, again, next year is going to be a computer-based exam, so things may change a little bit, but you still have the PDF with all the topics. You should be able to search pretty quickly and find most of the conception questions right away. Obviously, there's some questions that you're going to know if it's your area of expertise, or maybe you see a question that is really similar to one you already studied during the exam. But my advice is, just if you don't know it, just make sure you know the CERM or the PDF document that is coming next year well enough that you can find at least a close idea of what they're asking, and all the times you're going to find the answer that way. Best time to take the practice exam. So I actually took about 3 practice exams total on Saturdays. Like I said, I studied for about 8 hours on Saturday. I took one about a month into studying, so 3 months out. Then I took another one like 2 months out, and then I took the last one about 2 to 3 weeks out, just kind of see how well I was progressing with my studying. Again, there is no right or wrong answer there, but just take as many as you want. Obviously, do a lot more problems just beyond taking a practice exam. I did just focus on doing practicing problems for about the last month. So make sure you practice a lot. It takes a lot of time to just get to know how they ask the questions. And obviously, the more questions you answer and see and go through, there's a lot of times that the same question may be asked on the exam, or at least similar questions, so you'll be more prepared that way. Things to consider when starting to study for the PE. Just know that it's hard. It takes a lot of time. It's a long exam. Just know that in my case, I actually took a bathroom break both the morning and the afternoon session. You don't need to sit there for 8 hours straight. It gets tiring. And in my case, I was losing focus after the first hour or two, just because you're there for so long and it's just a very technical exam. So make sure you take a bathroom break. Obviously, that's not kind of related to the study material, but I think that's important to just realize it's going to be plenty of time to answer all the questions, even if you take a bathroom break. In terms of just the exam, again, it may change a little bit for next year with the computer-based exam, but just make sure you have a broad understanding of most topics. Even if you don't know it perfectly, just make sure you at least can recall little things of most topics. That way you're not coming to exam and seeing a question and you don't even know where to start a problem. Obviously, there were definitely a lot of questions that I felt that way, but I tried to minimize those and make sure I was, when I was studying, I wasn't looking to memorize everything. I was looking to understand the basics of, let's say, beam design, concrete beam design, or the basics of column design. And even if I didn't know everything exactly and precisely how to design without even looking at the book, I at least had an idea of the process to design those structural members. So when they ask me a question that is not what I was expecting for a normal design, I was in stock trying to figure out how to start the question. I already knew the process, and I can adjust the way I look at the question so I can answer the way they're asking the question. So make sure you're just not memorizing everything, but you have a little understanding of the process to answer the question or do the design, even if you don't know exactly the step-by-step process, just having a good understanding of the general design procedure. Whether to take the October 21 PE or wait until CBT in 2022. I will say if you are able to take in October, just take in October. I don't think there's any reason why you should delay it until 2022. But obviously there may be reasons that you may not be able to take it this year. Maybe you have some other conflicts and such, but just take it as soon as you can. I think it's not going to be any easier in 2021 or 2022. You still need to have to put all the hours to study. It may just look a little different, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a very similar exam and very similar experience going through it. So just take it whenever you're ready and whenever you feel like you have studied enough and you feel prepared to take the exam. Budgeting study time leading up to the test. So I study, again, 250 to 350 hours. I think the sweet spot is between 300 and 400. But at the beginning, I was studying maybe 4 or 5 hours a week. And then within 2 months of taking the exam, it was getting closer to 20 a week. So like a part-time job, just studying for the exam. And most of it was done on Saturdays. During the week, I just found that I was too tired from work and just wanted to go to bed or spend time with my family. And most of the work was done on Saturday. So just make sure you create a schedule that works for you. Obviously, for me, it worked more to spend the entire Saturday going through the material, studying the exam, and just going through all of that. And during the week was more of a review, maybe do a handful of problems each day. But the bulk of the exam was all done on Saturday. So just find something that works for you. This may look different for you, but just keep in mind that you do need to put the hours, and I would recommend between 15 and 20 hours a week, at least for the last couple of months. It's a good target. Taking the PE exam straight out of college or waiting? This, again, it's a personal decision. I'll just reference what I said before. If you're ready, if you're in a state that allows you to take it early, just go for it. Just go for it. There's no point in waiting. I think the longer you wait after you graduate, the harder it's going to be. You're going to be out of shape mentally to study, to go through a long exam. But if you can take it early and you're prepared and you put the time and effort to study and prepare well, I will recommend you take it right away. How to handle problems when you have no idea where to start. So I also talked about this on the episode with Vanessa. My strategy was to go through the exam, spend at least 30 seconds on each question. If I didn't know the answer, or if I didn't even know how to start a problem, I'll just move on to the next one. I did that until I got to the last question, then flipped the book back, started the first question again, and did the same for the question I didn't answer in the first round. This time I allowed myself maybe a minute to give it some more thought. Went through all the questions and then kind of repeated the process. I think I maybe have done it 2 or 3 times in total. But my advice is answer the questions you know first, because there is no deductions on answering the questions wrong. So if worse comes to worse at the end, if you really don't know the question, you can always guess. Obviously, that's not ideal. You want to at least give it a good try, but answer the questions you know. That way you can get some right questions in. And I think that helped me, because actually in the morning session I didn't answer one of the questions, which is was a great mistake. But if you answer the question, you're just gonna get a better grade that way. If you don't know the answer to some of the questions, I'll say just leave those to last and just give it your best try. Look through the book, look through the serum, look through the PDF if you're taking next year. I just give it the best try. Honestly, some of the questions you are not going to know even if you spend the whole day trying to figure out, just because they are completely different or completely out of the scope of the work you've done. Even the material study, I found that some questions were just very difficult or just nothing that I've seen during the practice exams or even at work. So I would say don't stress so much about it. Go through the questions that you know and you'll be fine at the end of the day. What to do in the week leading up to the exam. Again, I talked about this on the first episode. For me, actually my family ended up taking a trip that week so I could be myself, get some rest, get some study, prepare well. And I'll say just spend doing things that you enjoy. Go for walks, go work out, go for runs. I'll say don't spend too much time on social media or in front of the TV. Maybe read a book, do something to exercise your mind as you kind of approach this difficult day without really studying too much. You probably have done enough study by the point where you started that last week. Make sure you have all the material. Make sure you have your lunch packed, your snacks and everything. Again, just go back to that first episode. I think that was a good episode, kind of summarizing all the things that I did before the exam. The last question I have here is what to do after the exam. And I will reference the episode with Isaac, because that was a great episode where he kind of laid out all the opportunities you have after you pass the PE exam and become a licensed engineer. Obviously, the immediate actions after you pass the exam is applying for your license. This is going to look very differently depending on which state you're located. In my case, I could do it directly through the NCAS record. So I filled that out. I got all my references, got all my experience, got all the information in there. You have to verify your education with the transcripts. This takes a good couple weeks, maybe a month to get off that. Certified, you have to review it. Your supervisor have to review it. So it takes some time. After I did that, I went to the Colorado department to apply for the license. So the only thing I really had to do is fill out some basic information about me and then transfer the NCS record to the Colorado board. And then I got my license basically like that. Again, this is going to look very differently for some other states. And you just have to ask around people that you know, or just go through the NCS website. They have a list of states that accept the NCS record for initial licensure. If your state is not in that list, just go directly to your state board, and I'm sure they will be able to answer all the questions. And again, go back to the episode with Isaac. There's a great episode where he kind of laid out all the opportunities and all the things you can do with your PE license. So that's going to do it for today. There's some of the questions, really interesting questions I have gotten after I took the exam. It was definitely a big milestone, and I'm very grateful for all the people that helped me through the journey of getting the exam. Everyone that I've interacted with, from comedies, from friends, from new friends through the journey. So I just want to just take some time, just acknowledge all the PEs again and all the great work that engineers do all around the world. And obviously it's a tough profession, but we're striving to do our best to serve the public. So again, congratulations if you are a new PE this year. Obviously it's a big milestone for our careers, and I really hope you enjoyed this episode on PE Day. Remember to check all the resources in the description below. Let me know if I forgot to link anything, and make sure you connect with me on social media. I'm always happy to answer some of your questions over there too. Make sure you subscribe to your newsletter as well at luisfelipeduque.com/newsletter, where I just share some of the things that I'm learning, some of the things that I've been doing in my career, and it's just a great way to connect with me. I always like to reply to every email that I get, and it's always a great little community of other engineers and students that want to improve in their careers, and it's always fun to see how this newsletter is growing and all the great feedback I get from it. So thank you so much for coming back to this episode. It's always a great pleasure to share this time with you and have everyone being so excited about the content I'm putting out there and all the resources that I've been creating. Excited to what's coming this rest of the year. Some great resources and great things that I've been planning, and just overall a lot of great things happening over here. Again, thank you Jack Winters for the music. I'll talk to you in the next one, but for now, let's continue engineering our future.